Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bible with you this morning. Gospel according to Luke chapter number 2. Probably be looking at the Christmas passages, you know, quite often this month. Not only here at church, but I trust that you'll be looking at it at your home as well. Family times, focusing in on the Christmas story. Beautiful story of Christ coming. I want to look at two verses, or I want to read two verses. And one part of the verse that I want to lift out and focus in on this morning. Beginning here at verse number 13, I'll read 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. On earth peace, good and goodwill toward men." We have just a few, not very many instances in Scripture where God reveals the spiritual, the supernatural. Peter, James, and John are one of them where they experienced a vision or the reality for them, a picture into the supernatural, into the spiritual world. And it did something to them so deeply that they immediately wanted to build tabernacles. They wanted to erect things there as a memorial and as a place of worship. It really stirred them as they got this picture into the spiritual realm, into the spiritual world. Then we also are able to see Stephen at his stoning, where he had a glimpse into the other world, into the spiritual world, and he saw Christ. That vision was for him and for him only, apparently. But he was able to see something that, you know, the rest of us don't see. It was into the spiritual realm. Daniel. In the life of Daniel, we see that there is something portrayed or told to us about Daniel and the prayer that he was praying and the spiritual realm that surrounded that prayer, where he was needing help from heaven, he was needing help from God, but when God sent the messengers to help, there was a spiritual conflict. There was a war that was raging to prevent that answer to prayer. We don't see that, or we don't think about that maybe as often as what is really going on. I think I've referenced Frank Peretti's books a couple of times over the last few years, but he brings it out so well in his books, Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness, about that spiritual conflict, that spiritual warfare, giving us a picture into the spiritual realm. Then, of course, you can go to the last book of the Bible and you read the book of the Revelation that John received on the Isle of Patmos. And what a vision that was that transformed his life, I believe. It had to have, because even as we read it, it would transform our lives. If you haven't read the book of Revelation for a while, it'd be good for you to stop sometime and just read it. And I would even recommend sitting down and reading it all in one sitting. You say, "Oh, that takes a long time." Well, it may not be quite as long as what you think, really, unless you're a very slow reader, and that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that it's good to sit down and read the book of Revelation. I believe it can transform our lives. Here we see it also, a picture of into the spiritual realm. It's something that we don't see. I don't know that any of us here have ever seen such a portrayal of the spiritual side of divine beings, or of heavenly beings, I should say, coming to earth and singing in this chorus or this choir. And that was just a mere lowly shepherds. And I don't know whether we have the time and don't need to go into it this morning, but the shepherds were not the upper class. We may not like to be considered on that same level as shepherds, but we're more simple like what they are or what they were. Their simple lives would be more closely portrayed to our lives. Maybe some of the things we don't want to, you know, be compared to, but here they were, the heavenly host, a multitude of heavenly host came to the shepherds and sang. That was an announcement that they were giving of the birth of Christ. It was something that was important in heaven. And it was also to be important on earth. And because of its significance on earth, the heavenly host was sent to make the announcement. Now, we could speculate a lot in here, and we could probably go in a lot of different areas or in different channels to talk about it, but really, I think it could be summed up by saying that heaven has an interest in the things that happen on earth. That the spiritual beings of heaven, not only God Himself or the triune God, the Trinity, but also the inhabitants of heaven, the angels, have an interest in what takes place on earth. And you may say, well, preacher, you're stretching a little bit. Well, we can go to Luke chapter 15, and it tells us in verse number 10 that the angels of heaven rejoice. Or there is joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner comes to repentance. So, you know, that gives us another picture into the heavenly realm that there's rejoicing. There's interest in heaven of the things that take place on earth. The incarnation, the coming of God in the form of the little baby Jesus Christ, was not an afterthought of God. It wasn't just a last-minute decision. But it would indicate in Scripture that from the very foundation of the world, somewhere back there in the very beginning of time, God began that plan, and He set forth that plan, and He began to orchestrate the plan until in the fullness of time, Jesus was come. God created the world. Whether people will admit it or not, He created the world. Whether people admit it or not, God maintains the world. And in the midst of His creation, and in the midst of His maintenance of this world, He provided for the redemption of mankind. And He works in this world today, and He moves through mankind and in mankind's lives even today, and He continues to provide redemption even today through His Son. All of that takes place, and the angels are watching. It may not mean anything to you in just the quick thoughts that would pass through your mind, but really that's an important aspect as we realize that the angels of heaven are watching, and they are working the will of God even for us. When we have joy, the angels can see that. When we have grief, the angels can feel that. When there's trials and temptations, they are known and understood by them. They may not understand them the way Christ understands them, because He feels our infirmities, but he can understand, or they can understand, because they have this feeling or this emotion that you and I would also have. One of the best pictures into the other world is that Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one that we celebrate His coming, is now, even now, He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He's praying. Jesus Christ is praying for us. And if I had the time this morning, I could take it right down to the personal level and mention everybody's, if I could remember everybody's name, mention everybody's name that Jesus Christ is praying specifically for us. Not just because we are here at Wise Ball Community Church, but because He's praying for His followers. Now we see here in this passage that the angels, the heavenly hosts, came to make an announcement. And that announcement was that there was a coming Christ child, that there was a birth that was to take place, and the shepherds were going to get up and go find this little baby born in a manger area or a stable area, and was going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a magnificent cradle that the cows and the sheep would eat hay out of. But in the midst of that announcement, they were giving praise to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Would indicate for us this morning, as we understand this, that Jesus is the source of peace. The announcement of Christ's coming was followed by a declaration of the fruit of Him coming, and the fruit of Him coming was to be peace. We don't need to get lost the same way they got lost back in that day, thinking that His coming was going to bring them peace in the midst of their Roman bondage. That's not what He was coming for specifically. It was more personal. It was more of an individual peace that He was bringing, and yet it was worldwide that He was going to provide it for. Peace on earth. Now we can look at that from the first standpoint, is that we would have peace with God. Man and God would have peace because sin would has alienated mankind from God. And there's been a war that rages, right against wrong, righteousness against evil, from the day that evil came into this world. Lucifer himself. So we get a picture, a small glimpse of it into the spiritual realm. We see that Lucifer was cast out of heaven because pride entered into his heart. And it's always been that war that rages between. And so when man fell, when man sinned, and man continues to be born in sin, there is that separation of man and God, and it's not a peaceful setting. But Jesus Christ was come to bring peace on earth between man and God. Being justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God. John tells us in his epistle that we are to confess our sins, and when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you believe that this morning? Have you experienced that this morning? That when you confess your sins, that He was faithful and He was just to forgive your sins because of Calvary. Not because of the Old Testament sacrifices. We understand in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, that they were not sufficient, that we had to have a sinless life, shed blood, and that's why Jesus came. And so through that, we have this opportunity to stand before God reconciled because there's peace with man, between man and God, through the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus. Confessing our sins. Justified brings peace. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. Let's take just a little bit of time this morning and ask ourselves a little bit about this peace. What keeps peace? If you were listening, then you know exactly what my track or train of thinking is about this, because I've said that sin created an alienation between man and God, and that was a war of right and wrong, good and evil. So what is it that keeps peace? Continued faith in God. Continued walking with Him. Keeping sin out of our lives. Sensitivity to sin, a pain to feel it near, a songwriter said. Do we pay a close enough attention to our spiritual condition to know when peace begins to be gone? When that sense of peace wanes? Are we sensitive enough, or are we so focused on this God that is watching out in heaven, and he's looking for somebody who has sinned? And at the moment that somebody sins, he's ready to strike them down. So when the songwriter said a sensitivity to sin, are we focused on that side of things where God is going to strike somebody down, or are we focused in that sensitivity to sin, knowing that as I walk with God, that I have peace with Him, and if I'm unfaithful to God, then I lose that peace? Because it's not that God's wanting to strike anybody down. Oh yes, yes, we have to admit that God cannot look on sin. He will not look on sin. The day of winking at sin is past. But that doesn't mean that God is ready to strike us down, because God, our heavenly beings, are interested in what takes place on earth, and He has provided the means of peace so that we can have peace. Not that we would have struggles to obtain peace, but that simply laid out before us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And if we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see, it's rather simple, isn't it? There's really nothing complex about it. It's simply a simple procedure. It's simply a simple action, or a faith, a believing, a walking with Him. Not only did God send His Son to bring us peace between man and God, but He also gave us, or came to give us, peace with ourselves. Peace with ourselves. Do you have peace with yourself? That's probably a big subject, and it's a big topic, and I probably need to spend more time on it than what I'm going to, but you see, peace is a characteristic of the coming of Christ. Peace is a characteristic of Christianity. Peace with God would also indicate that there is to be peace in man's own heart, because we find in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, that Jesus, speaking about peace, he said, "Peace I give you. My peace I leave with you." He speaks about giving peace. He's also talking to his disciples about going to different places, and when those places would receive them, he instructed his disciples to let them know that there was going to be peace there, that there was a peace that they were supposed to pass on to them. Peace be unto you. My peace I give. And in those days of Christ walking the earth, it was common for them to express through their greetings this peace. Now, they didn't live in a peaceful time in the way of no wars and no bondage and no problems like that. No, they lived in all of that stuff, and yet their greeting was the same: shalom, peace. So Jesus Christ is the source of peace. He came to give us peace. He came to provide peace for us. What is our duty in all this? Or what is the application for us in all this? Maybe that's the way I should put it. Because that word duty we don't like. Let's look at the application. Well, our duty is to be at peace with God. I mean, our the application is for us to be at peace with God. To have our sins forgiven, to be brought into a relationship where God is not having to turn his back on us because of sin that has infiltrated or fills our life. But that we can stand before God reconciled by faith. Brought to him through reconciliation. Brought to him through Calvary's blood. Not only are we, as in this application, are we to be at peace with God, but we are to be at peace with man. It's not just between me and God, or you and God, or just because he came to bring peace to you personally or to me personally, but he also came to bring peace between mankind or amongst us. Follow peace or pursue peace with all men. You see, that's the driving force of the Christian, is to be at peace with our fellow man. Sometimes I really think it's a lot easier for us to confess our sins and find that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and through that we have peace with God. It's a lot more easy, or it's a lot easier to do that than it is to be at peace with people sometimes. Maybe that's why it's worded that we are to follow or pursue peace with all men. How do we pursue peace with all men? I don't have time to go into that this morning, but let's just very briefly look at the golden rule again. Hasn't been that long ago that I looked at the golden rule. Do unto others. Whew, boy, it gets confusing right there, doesn't it? Because we've misquoted it so many times, we can't always keep it together. Do unto others what I really want them and expect them to do to me. Just because I'm doing it to others doesn't mean they're going to do it to me. I may be honest and fair with everybody else, but they may not be honest and fair with me. But that's not the point. The point is that I am to be what I want them to be. That is where we fall into this thing of peace being made available from God for us to be peaceable with people around us. What is it that disrupts our peace among people? What is it that disrupts our peace? Well, when I have to have my demands or my rights or my desires, my wishes. And I have rights, you have rights. You have desires. Probably have somewhat demands at times, and it's when those things get in the way of having peace. That's where the rub is. I know we can argue all the way around it, but the golden rule still stands whether we argue around it or not. We are to be peacemakers. What is it that Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, in order for us to really maintain peace, we even have to refrain from indulging in the thoughts of jealousy or ill will towards somebody. That gets pretty close for us sometimes. Somebody said that we are to show by example the peaceable fruits of the Spirit. I don't think that the person that said that misquoted anything or misstated anything when they said fruit as plural. You and I probably are fully aware that the fruit of the Spirit is singular. You know, where Paul wrote the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Did you notice that peace is, what is that, the third one? The third one is peace. And it's not listing them in order of importance. It is all a compilation of the fruit of the Spirit. Each one important, each one necessary, each one a part of the whole fruit. But peace is there. Paul tells Timothy in his first epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's speaking about this peace between fellow individuals, in between us and people in general, just not specifically to certain people, but in general, leading a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. James tells us in chapter 3, verse 17, that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. So the peace of God, or the wisdom of God, also is a wisdom that brings a peace. And that there is a peace involved. Not only is his wisdom pure, but his wisdom is peaceable. It's gentle, easy to be entreated. Peace on earth. It's a strange concept. In the midst of the turmoil and the tumult, the news reports that we hear daily of everything that goes against peace. Not just limited to the Middle East, but it surrounds us. It sometimes creeps in upon us. Jesus came. We celebrate the coming of Christ, and Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring us peace with God. He came to bring us peace with ourselves. He came to bring us peace with our fellow men. He is the source of peace. And if he came to bring us peace, then as followers of Christ, we are to give and to share peace. Not only keeping relationships right between us and around us, but also sharing his peace with others around us. That would mean that we are to share the gospel. We are to share the good news. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's part of the gift. Peace. Do you experience peace this morning? Are you sensitive to that feeling or that sense of peace that is deep down inside that you know? Are you sensitive to that peace? Do you experience that peace? Do you share that peace? Let's stand together this morning.